里是东方都市广播 FM89.9 AM792， 全国大学英语四六级考试上海考区英语六级听力部分考试现在
听力考试马上开始，请戴上耳机。录音开头有一段试听声音，约一分半钟。听力考试将在试音结束后正式开始。现在开始试音。
In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once.After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Example. You will hear. When shall we start our work, Jane?
Tomorrow at 9 o'clock.But we must work quickly, for we have to finish everything before 2 in the afternoon.
For how long can they work? You will read A. 2 hours B. 3 hours C. 4 hours D. 5 hours. From the conversation, we know that the two are talking about some work they will start at 9 o'clock in the morning and have to finish by 2 in the afternoon.Therefore, D, 5 hours, is the correct answer. You should choose D on the answer sheet and mark it with a single line through the center.
试音结束，听力考试现在开始。
College English Test, Band 6. Part 3, Listening Comprehension.
Section A, Directions.In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D.And decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. Did you hear that Anna needs to stay in bed for 4 weeks?
Yeah, she injured her spine in a fall, and the doctor told her to lie flat on her back for a month so it can mend.
What can we learn from the conversation?
Question 12. A famous Russian ballet is coming to town next weekend, but I can't find a ticket anywhere.
Don't be upset. My sister just happened to one and she can't go.Since she has got some sort of conflict in her schedule.
What does the woman mean?
Question 13. Hello, my bathroom drain is blocked, and I'm giving a party tonight. Do you think you could come and fix it for me?
Sorry, ma'am.I'm pretty busy right now, but I can put you on my list.
What does the man mean? Question 14. We're taking up a collection to buy a gift for Gemma. She'll have been with the company 25 years next week.
Well, count me in.But I'm a bit short on cash now. When do you need it?
What is the man going to do? Question 15. Tony's mother has invited me to dinner. Do you think I should tell her in advance that I'm a vegetarian?
Of course. I think she'd appreciate it. Imagine how you'd both feel if she fixed a turkey dinner or something.
What does the man suggest the woman do?
Question 16. Just look at this newspaper. Nothing but robbery, suicide, and murder. Do you still believe people are basically good?
Of course, but many papers lack interest in reporting something positive, like peace, love, and generosity.
What are the speakers talking about? Question 17. I can't believe so many people want to sign up for the Career Development Conference. We'll have to limit the registration.
Yeah, otherwise we won't have room for them all.
What are the speakers going to do?
Question 18. Hi, I'm calling about the ad for the one-bedroom apartment.
Perfect timing. The person who was supposed to rent it just backed out to take a room on campus.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
One of the most interesting experiments with dolphins must be one done by Dr. Jarvis Bastian. What he tried to do was to teach a male dolphin called Buzz and a female called Doris to communicate with each other across a solid barrier.
So how did he do it exactly?
Well, first of all, he kept the two dolphins together in the same tank and taught them to press levers whenever they saw a light. The levers were fitted to the side of the tank next to each other. If the light flashed on and off several times, the dolphins were supposed to press the left-hand lever, followed by the right-hand one. If the light was kept steady, the dolphins were supposed to press the levers in reverse order. Whenever they responded correctly, they were rewarded with fish.
Sounds terribly complicated.
Well, that was the first stage. In the second stage, Dr. Bastian separated the dolphins into two tanks. They could still hear one another, but they couldn't actually see each other. The levers and the light were set up in exactly the same way, except that this time it was only Doris who could see the light, indicating which lever to press first. But in order to get their fish, both dolphins had to press the levers in the correct order. This meant, of course, that Doris had to tell Buzz whether it was a flashing light or whether it was a steady light.
So did it work?
Well, amazingly enough, the dolphins achieved 100% success rate.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the purpose of Dr. Jarvis Bastian's experiment? Question 20. What were the dolphins supposed to do when they saw the steady light? Question 21. How did the second stage of the experiment differ from the first stage?
Conversation 2. This week's program, Up Your Street, takes you to Harrogate, a small town in Yorkshire. Harrogate became a fashionable resort during Victorian times when people came to take a bath in the mineral waters. Today, few people come to visit the town for its mineral waters. Instead, Harrogate has become a popular town for people to retire to. Its clean air, attractive parks, and the absence of any industry make this an ideal spot for people looking for a quiet life. Now, to tell us more about Harrogate, I have with me Tom Percival, President of the Chamber of Commerce. Tom, one of the things a visitor notices about Harrogate is the large area of open parkland right down into the middle of the town. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, certainly. The area is called the Stray.
Why the Stray?
It's called that because in the old days, people let their cattle stray on the area, which was common land.
Oh, I see.
Then, with changes in farming and in land ownership, the Stray became part of the land owned by Harrogate.
And is it protected?
Oh, yes, indeed. There's a special law. No one can build anything on the Stray. It's protected forever.
So it'll always be parkland?
That's right. As you can see, some of the Stray is used for sports fields.
I believe it looks lovely in the spring.
Yes, it does. There are spring flowers under all the trees, and people visit the town just to see the flowers.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. Where does this conversation most probably take place? Question 23. What do we learn about modern Harrogate? Question 24. What does the man say about the area called the Stray? Question 25. What attracts people most in the Stray during the springtime? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Russell Fazio, an Ohio State psychology professor who has studied interracial roommates there and at Indiana University, discovered an intriguing academic effect. In a study analyzing data on thousands of Ohio State freshmen who lived in dorms, he found that black freshmen who came to college with high standardized test scores earned better grades if they had a white roommate, even if the roommate's test scores were low. The roommate's race had no effect on the grades of white students or low-scoring black students. Perhaps, the study speculated, having a white roommate helps academically prepared black students adjust to a predominantly white university. That same study found that randomly assigned interracial roommates at Ohio State broke up before the end of the quarter about twice as often as same-race roommates. Because interracial roommate relationships are often problematic, Dr. Fazio said, many students would like to move out, but university housing policies may make it hard to leave. At Indiana University, where housing was not so tight, more interracial roommates split up, he said. Here at Ohio State, where housing was tight, they were told to work it out. The most interesting thing we found was that if the relationship managed to continue for just 10 weeks, we could see an improvement in racial attitudes. Dr. Fazio's Indiana study found that 3 times as many randomly assigned interracial roommates were no longer living together at the end of the semester compared with white roommates. The interracial roommates spent less time together and had fewer joint activities than the white pairs.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What do we know about Russell Fazio? Question 27. Who benefited from living with a white roommate according to Fazio's study? Question 28. What did the study find about randomly assigned interracial roommates at Ohio State University? Question 29. What did Dr. Fazio find interesting about interracial roommates who had lived together for 10 weeks? Passage 2. In a small laboratory at the Medical University of South Carolina, Dr. Vladimir Mironov has been working for a decade to grow meat. A developmental biologist and tissue engineer, Dr. Mironov is one of only a few scientists worldwide involved in bioengineering cultured meat. It's a product he believes could help solve future global food crises resulting from shrinking amounts of land available for growing meat the old-fashioned way. Growth of cultured meat is also underway in the Netherlands. Mironov told Reuters in an interview, but in the United States, it is science in search of funding and demand. The new National Institute of Food and Agriculture won't fund it. The National Institutes of Health won't fund it. And NASA funded it only briefly, Mironov said. It's classic disruptive technology, Mironov said. Bringing any new technology on the market on average costs $1 billion. We don't even have $1 million. Director of the Advanced Tissue Biofabrication Center in the Department of Regenerative Medicine and Cell Biology at the Medical University, Mironov now primarily conducts research on tissue engineering or growing of human organs. There's an unpleasant factor when people find out meat is grown in a lab. They don't like to associate technology with food, said Nicholas Genovese, a visiting scholar in cancer cell biology. But there are a lot of products that we eat today that are considered natural that are produced in a similar manner, Genovese said.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. What does Dr. Mironov think of bioengineering cultured meat? Question 31. What does Dr. Mironov say about the funding for their research? Question 32. What does Nicholas Genovese say about a lot of products we eat today? Passage 3. Bernard Jackson is a free man today, but he has many bitter memories. Jackson spent 5 years in prison after a jury wrongly convicted him of raping 2 women. At Jackson's trial, although 2 witnesses testified that Jackson was with them in another location at the times of the crimes, he was convicted anyway. Why? The jury believed the testimony of the 2 victims, who positively identified Jackson as the man who had attacked them. The court eventually freed Jackson after the police found the man who had really committed the crimes. Jackson was similar in appearance to the guilty man. The 2 women had made a mistake in identity. As a result, Jackson has lost 5 years of his life. The 2 women in this case were eyewitnesses. They clearly saw the man who attacked them, yet they mistakenly identified an innocent person. Similar incidents have occurred before. Eyewitnesses to other crimes have identified the wrong person in a police lineup or in photographs. Many factors influence the accuracy of eyewitness testimony. For instance, witnesses sometimes see photographs of several suspects before they try to identify the person they saw in a lineup of people. They can become confused by seeing many photographs of similar faces. The number of people in the lineup, and whether it is a live lineup or a photograph, may also affect a witness's decision. People sometimes have difficulty identifying people of other races. The questions the police ask witnesses also have an effect on them.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. What do we learn about Bernard Jackson? Question 34. What led directly to Jackson's sentence? Question 35. What lesson do we learn from Jackson's case? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
About 700,000 children in Mexico dropped out of school last year as recession-stricken families push kids to work, and a weak economic recovery will allow only a slight improvement in the dropout rate in 2010. A top education official said. Mexico's economy suffered more than any other in Latin America last year, shrinking an estimated 7% due to a plunge in U.S. demand for Mexican exports, such as cars. The decline led to a 4% increase in the number of kids who left primary or middle school in 2009, said Juan de Dios Castro, who heads the nation's adult education program and keeps a close watch on dropout rates. Poverty rose And that is a factor that makes our job more difficult, Castro told Reuters in an interview earlier this month. Hindered by higher taxes and weak demand for its exports, Mexico's economy is seen only partially recovering this year. As a result, dropout rates will not improve much, Castro said. There will be some improvement, but not significant, Castro said. Mexico has historically had high dropout rates as poor families pull kids out of school to help put food on the table. And children often sell candy and crafts in the streets or work in restaurants. The nation's dropout problem is just the latest bad news for the long-term competitiveness of the Mexican economy. Mexico's politicians have resisted mending the country's tax, energy, and labor laws for decades, leaving its economy behind countries such as Brazil and Chile.
Now the passage will be read again. About 700,000 children in Mexico dropped out of school last year as recession-stricken families pushed kids to work. And a weak economic recovery will allow only a slight improvement in the dropout rate in 2010, a top education official said. Mexico's economy suffered more than any other in Latin America last year, shrinking an estimated 7% due to a plunge in U.S. demand for Mexican exports such as cars. The decline led to a 4% increase in the number of kids who left primary or middle school in 2009, said Juan de Dios Castro, who heads the nation's adult education program and keeps a close watch on dropout rates. Poverty rose, and that is a factor that makes our job more difficult, Castro told Reuters in an interview earlier this month. Hindered by higher taxes and weak demand for its exports, Mexico's economy is seen only partially recovering this year. As a result, dropout rates will not improve much, Castro said. There will be some improvement, but not significant, Castro said. Mexico has historically had high dropout rates as poor families pull kids out of school to help put food on the table. and children often sell candy and crafts in the streets or work in restaurants. The nation's dropout problem is just the latest bad news for the long-term competitiveness of the Mexican economy. Mexico's politicians have resisted mending the country's tax, energy, and labor laws for decades, leaving its economy behind countries such as Brazil and Chile.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. About 700,000 children in Mexico dropped out of school last year as recession-stricken families push kids to work and a weak economic recovery will allow only a slight improvement in the dropout rate in 2010, a top education official said. Mexico's economy suffered more than any other in Latin America last year, shrinking an estimated 7% due to a plunge in U.S. demand for Mexican exports, such as cars. The decline led to a 4% increase in the number of kids who left primary or middle school in 2009, said Juan de Dios Castro, who heads the nation's adult education program and keeps a close watch on dropout rates. Poverty rose, and that is a factor that makes our job more difficult, Castro told Reuters in an interview earlier this month. Hindered by higher taxes and weak demand for its exports, Mexico's economy is seen only partially recovering this year. As a result, dropout rates will not improve much, Castro said. There will be some improvement, but not significant, Castro said. Mexico has historically had high dropout rates as poor families pull kids out of school to help put food on the table. And children often sell candy and crafts in the streets or work in restaurants. The nation's dropout problem is just the latest bad news for the long-term competitiveness of the Mexican economy. Mexico's politicians have resisted mending the country's tax, energy, and labor laws for decades, leaving its economy behind countries such as Brazil and Chile.
This is the end of Listening Comprehension.